Hi everybody, welcome. I'm welcoming you into my lounge room, into where I can share my thoughts with you. I've got different topics that I'm going to bring up from time to time, and today I'm going to talk on loneliness. Oh dear, yeah, you sigh. Loneliness. So many of us have felt that at times. So many of us feel like that now. We're in circumstances right now where we're lonely. Yes, it's a sighing sort of title, sighing sort of thinking. But I want to share with you what I've learned from it. I want to share with you how God has used that loneliness for me to become closer to Him. You know, Jesus even felt lonely. You know, there are times when He went alone up a mountain to pray, but that's different. You can be alone and still not be lonely. Or you can be lonely and you're amongst so many people. But Jesus at times did feel that loneliness, that isolation. You know, He said, you know, foxes have holes to sleep in, but the Son of God is nowhere to lay His head. Because He realized and recognized for who He was and what He had to do on the earth, it was just Him. He was lonely. It was only Him who could do what He needed to do for us. And in a way, it made Him isolated and lonely. But He accepted that. So for the purpose, remember, for His purpose, that why He was on the earth, He chose to accept the loneliness. Sometimes that happens with us. For the purpose of doing ministry, for the purpose of doing a job role, for the purpose of where we are right now, we often accept to choose to be lonely because that's just what it means. That's what it takes. You know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He came back from praying to the Father to say, you know, is this your will? Or can you take it away? Or no, I'll do your will. What do you want? You know, the dilemma that we often are in our choices in life, or when we come to a crux of something that we have decided to do, but Jesus came and said to His disciples, because they had fallen asleep, could you not be with me 1 hour? At that time, He was lonely. He needed some support, some help. Well, how could we help the Son of God? But we could by just being there with Him, for Him. We can't experience what He experienced, but He wanted His people, His followers, His friends around Him. You know, loneliness can be through circumstances out of our control. It can be families who move away, or we move away from our families. I have. It can be work. Work takes us away from our life, our family, where we live, what we know. Sometimes we're lonely because where we are, we don't seem to fit in. You know, we can't seem to relate with who we work with. Sometimes we're not able to get out of this situation. I often find there's lonely elderly in nursing homes. You know, their families, out of love for them, out of care for them, out of a need, have put them in a nursing home. Or you yourself have put yourself in a nursing home as you got older. And sometimes, though, it can be so, so lonely because the families are so busy in life, they don't come and visit as much. I'm starting again. Who are these people that I have to now mingle with, have dinner with, have lunch with, share with? But you don't have to be lonely. There is a solution. I remember when I had got married and married someone who lived, whose parents, whose family upbringing lived 6 hours flight away. Now, flight times back then it was 6 hours. Now it's you know, faster planes, and you can probably do it in 4.5 if the winds are good. But my husband decided he wanted to live, go, after being married for a couple of years, back to where he originally came from. And I decided, yeah, that was probably the best thing for our family too. But oh, I was so lonely. I came from a family of six children, an identical twin sister, loving parents, a place where I'd grown up with, I went to school with, I had 18th, 21st with friends, got married there. And I moved to a town where I knew no one. Bruce has four brothers, no sisters. Bit lonely because, you know, I'm not saying I didn't chit-chat to his brothers, but it was a bit different. I needed other women around me, other friends that I could really relate with. It was so lonely. But you know what I found? Jesus was my best friend. Because of that loneliness, I read more about him. I prayed more to him. I shared my life with him, and he shared with me. And I got a best friend. He's the best that you could ever have. He will always listen to you. May not agree with you, but will always listen. He will always love you. He might call you on and say that's not the way to live, but he will always love you. He's faithful. He's forever there. He's forever true. You know, in a document called in Latin, Verbum Dei, which means the God who speaks, it says God becomes known through dialogue between two people, which he desires to have with us. God desires to have a dialogue with me, with you. It also says from the fullness of his love, because that's who he is. That's how you could describe him. That verb is him in a nutshell, love. He's driven by love for us. It drove him to send his son Jesus for us. He's driven by love. From the fullness of his love addresses, he talks to men and women as his friends and lives among them. He told us that when God sent his son Jesus and he said, call him Emmanuel. God is with us. When Jesus was going after the resurrection, going up back home to the Father and said, I've got to go because I'm going to send someone who'll help you, the Holy Spirit. But he goes and he says, I want to tell you, remember, I am with you always till the end of the time. He's always with us. So from the fullness of his love, he talks to men and women as his friends, and he lives among them in order to invite and receive them into his own company. You know, when I read that, I got tears in my eyes. He invites me to come and be with him. Don't you always want an invitation? You know, when you hear about a 21st amongst your friends and you don't get that invitation, don't you feel a bit lonely, isolated, sad? But God, our Father, invites us to be with him. What an invitation. What an invitation. And if you don't know God the Father, just ask him. Can I be invited too? And you know, he'll never say no, never ever. He'll say, yes, come, come, welcome, I'll welcome you. Come, let's have dialogue together. Let us share intimately together. Because that's our Father's heart, full of love. And we need to know that God enters into a loving union with us. He is love. He's the same God in Genesis, back at the beginning of time. In the beginning, Jesus was there with him. In the beginning, the Holy Spirit was there, hovering over the earth. At the heart of the divine life is communion. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But God, our Father, tries to share the heart of himself is communion, is union, unity. So the next step is he wants unity with us. He wants intimacy with us. He doesn't want us to be lonely. Jesus is our best friend. Read it here. He calls his followers friends. He invites us to share in that love of the Father, in that love of the Spirit. Family together. Unity together. Oh, the world needs so much this unification, this unity. I need it in my own life. I hate it when things are just in my own family are disrupted and disunified. I love it when we're all around a table and we're all laughing and sharing each other. God comes to me in that deep loneliness, in that place of me. And many of you would know that feeling, know that place. Maybe some of you only partially know it. Or maybe you know it, but you sort of put it away, nah, that's not me. You know, he accepts me in that place of me, warts and all, how I am, where I am right now, in my circumstances, in my life, with my attitudes, with my problems, with my joys and gifts too. You know, maybe though he calls me to be better because he loves me too much to keep me where I'm at. And he does. He draws, this love draws goodness out of me because only God is good. He draws the best out of me. He shows me where I can work better, be better, love better, care better, are better. God wants intimacy, and you know what? To be honest, so do I. So do I. Jesus called his disciples not just followers, he called them friends. You know, there's a show on TV, there's one in Australia, and there's the English one that I've seen on paramedics or ambulance people who come to get called up. You know, there's emergencies and there's problems and there's health issues, and they go and visit people in their houses. Oh, and one night I was crying. Thank goodness I was the only one in the lounge room. I was crying. These people are so lonely. Yes, they weren't breathing well, or their heart was racing and they had other issues, but they were so lonely. My heart bled for them. You know, God's heart bleeds for us, the lonely. He knows what it feels like, but he wants to be with us so we don't feel like that anymore. And so at times when I'm in a room all by myself and I'm lonely, I'm never lonely because God is always with me. I have my best friend by my side always. You know, in Verbum Dei, it describes this unity beautifully. God makes himself known to us as a mystery of infinite love in which the Father eternally utters his word in the Holy Spirit. He's eternally uttering to us, speaking to us, loving us. God himself wants to be in a dialogue with us, just like he's in a dialogue with the three divine persons together, a sharing, being intimate together. You know, in that emptiness and isolation that we can sometimes be, God can use this opportunity to work miracles. We can see with different eyes, spiritual eyes. You know, there's me, and then there's me. I've got a body, I've got a physical body, but I've got a mental mind, but I've got a spirit within me. That's me, that's Rosemary. You've got some spirit within you that's you. And we often see with different eyes when we listen in the spirit. God's supernatural power can show up. He opens doors. But sometimes he wants us to knock on the door because the door handle is on our side. He's there waiting for us so that we're never lonely anymore. But we need to invite him in. He's already sent out the invitation. We need to open the door. He invites us to share at his banquet table. But he waits for the invitation or the door opening on our side. You know, my best friend, Jesus, listens to me. He has great suggestions and ideas for my life. Advice. He's got my back. He goes before me preparing a great day for me. He always is merciful. He's always forgiving if I ask him. I might rant and rave and be angry at him just like anybody is in any normal relationship. But he understands where I'm coming from because he knows me. I want to know him. I want to understand him more. I want to love him more. You know, he gives me that look sometimes. He gives me that push sometimes, just like any loving parent. He gives me that tough love and that gentle, soft, huggy love. He invites me for the first time or the 31st time to go deeper with him. Be honest. Nothing that you can ever say to him will ever stop him loving you. So be honest. Share intimately. Share how you're feeling, what you're thinking. I don't really know. I don't know you, God. Who are you, God? Be honest. He loves honesty. It's your choice. Make that choice. And I can tell you now, you'll never, ever be lonely again. Well, I hope that encouraged you a bit. We're going to do way more of these on different topics, in different, talking about different areas, just sharing. So invite your friends, share with them some in these encouraging words. Thank you for coming to share, to listen to my heart, to your heart. Thank you.